Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Today from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high place, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forsaken the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath covered the labor of our fathers, from our youth, their flocks, their herds, their sons, and their daughters. We lie down in shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves in the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without inhabitant. For this gird you up with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the princes shall be, the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Let's give God thanks for his holy word, a word of warning, and a word of promise. Let's pray that we'll understand it better than Judah did at that time, that both by their example, by what God did with them, and what he can do now, will lead us to return to the Lord. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ alone. We come asking for his righteousness, that we might be robed in that to cover all of our filth, our uncleanness, our unprofitableness. Make us to realize that we are as the word, the scripture describes, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That each one of us are in that number, whether Jew or Gentile, religious or worldly. We give thanks for thy giving, Christ. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for coming down to earth to live, to honor the Father, to die for our sins, and to rise again, and now to be seated on the right hand of glory, interceding for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we may have that intercession, that we may have an answer to the prayer for the promised Spirit, that he might come to us in our day, reviving us, awakening where that is needed, and whatever is needed, in wisdom, in faith, in repentance, in love, in all the fruits of the Spirit. We pray for those who have special needs and older age and sickness and homelessness, fear, sorrow. We pray for comfort. We pray for leading all through Christ Jesus, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. I'd like to continue here with this message of Jeremiah, given these 2,600 years ago, and which is as applicable for us today as it was for the Jews. Probably not in every detail, not in every reference of other nations, and exactly for us as for them in the particular countries, but as a whole, we are a people that are before the same God. And though we might be in one way a different people, in another way, the psalmist asked, and Paul does later in his letter to the church at Rome, are we better than they? And his answer comes back in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. That is the message concerning both Jew and Gentile. And we have to say it, sadly, of the church as well as of the world. We might say, well, isn't the church different? Yes and no. It should be different. It has more reason to be different. It is less without excuse. But the church can be in such a place as the Lord Jesus described to the church at Laodicea. You say you are rich and need of nothing, but are poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. What stronger words could be said to the world than that to the church? And the church can be in such a state. And I'm afraid in many ways we are today. We all seem to know that there's a need of revival, awakening, but we all seem to think that it is more necessary for others than ourselves. Last week we considered that word backsliding. It's given there in many times in the third chapter and continues as well in the next. We are with Israel today, a backsliding people. I'm thinking of our nation, especially the United States of America, that which has been called a Christian nation, from which many missionaries have been sent out. The word has come from this nation to other nations, but today we certainly are a backsliding people. We have backslid from God as our Creator. We teach in the schools and the universities, sadly, even in so-called Christian schools and seminaries, that evolution is true, and the world is billions of years old, rather than to take the scriptural account as God gave it through the pen of Moses, and not only the pen of Moses, but all through Scripture. The psalmist and Paul writes that God is our maker. Paul writes to the church of the Hebrews that God spoke to us in these last days by His Son, by whom He made the worlds. We know that to be true. And we can know also when He did it, how He did it. All of that is stated in the Holy Scripture. We have turned away from our Creator. We read in verse 23 of this third chapter, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. And it's equally true of the rest of the world. We talk today about much of global warming. We talk about all that takes place in nature. And we look as if we can improve the world by that. And there might be a grain of truth in that. But there is much exaggeration. There are many lies. There is much politics, much vying for money and all of that. And as we read here, truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills. Many people that are concerned about all of that in nature will die and go to hell. They may have spent much of their life thinking about this, working about that, but they want to have salvation. We need first things first. As Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. All of that which is in nature would be much better if we came back to God, if we asked together of the Lord what He would have us to do. And so we are a backsliding people. We have slid away from our Creator. And what a helpless people we are if God, our Creator, does not sustain us. Because it is true, as Paul said to the learned Athenians, the Greeks, it is in him that you move and have your being. And that is true of every one of you and of myself. I'll live as long as God gives me life. I'll have health as long as I have that blessing from God. Only that way. It's in God's hand, not in mine, and not in yours. Oh, we can give slight variations. We can help things. But as the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. And Judah found that out. They were going to build their own house, even through the way of the temple. As we can see further in this prophecy of Jeremiah, they said, the temple of the Lord is this. But God had withdrawn his presence, and he allowed the temple even to be destroyed. The place of their worship was to be no more. Yes, we are a backsliding people. Not only from God our Creator, we no longer seem to think of him as a holy God, a sovereign God, a jealous God, an angry God at sin. All of that is true today. Very true. We read here, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem. Blow ye the trumpet in the land. Assemble yourselves together. Let us go up into the defense cities. We read how God's anger is there. Gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. That's what Jeremiah wrote, and evidently probably said it as well to the people before him. The anger, the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. Why are we in the state that we are? In our economy, in our homes, in many different areas of life. God is angry with us. He's taken away the blessing. Moses said to Israel, who is it that giveth thee power to get wealth? In his farewell message to Israel, he spoke of blessings and cursings. Read them in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If there was obedience, there would be blessing. Disobedience, there would be cursing. God is merciful. God doesn't deal with us fully as he could in his anger. We would all have the wages of sin, which is death. Hopefully amongst us, there will be those that in love he chastens, teaches us through even showing his anger, through circumstance and bringing certain things into our life and judgment, that we may learn, that we may have the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Yes, there were probably some in Israel and Judah that did learn, but they were very few indeed. As Isaiah had said before, unless the Lord had left us a remnant, a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, taking Lot out, and he compared the people of Israel to them. When Isaiah, about 100 years before this, prophesied to Israel and to Judah. Yes, we have backslid away from God in his attributes, in his character, in all that he is. And he is God. We may not understand it fully. We may not be able to comprehend many things about God and his power, his wisdom. But we read rightly in the scripture from the pen of David that the heavens declare the glory of God, and they do. When we do not know God as holy, sovereign, jealous, angry, then we don't see the love of God in a right light either. A love as undeserving. A love that comes to us only by grace. Not just grace as giving it instead of anger, but grace in giving it with power. Giving it, as he did the Apostle Paul, a persecutor, being made not only a child of God, but one that proclaimed the message of Christ. Christ preached the gospel. God did that. He changed him. That's grace manifested in power. Great grace is what was given to the early church. And we do not recognize that as we should. We are too prone to think that somehow our works still please God. But they don't. When Paul learned of that grace and that power, he said, "In me there dwelleth no good thing," pertaining to his flesh. The only good would come in what God gives us through Christ, both in justifying our sins because of Christ's death, his blood shed on the cross, and also Christ living in us, having his Spirit to guide us instead of the spirit of disobedience. We are backsliders also because we are lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud. Paul wrote by Timothy that this would come, especially in the last days. He said, perilous times would come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul says to Timothy, from such turn away. That is a picture of the last days. The last days, perilous times shall come. And we may believe that we are living in the last of the last days. Paul wrote 2,000 years ago that Christ spoke to us in the last days. And we may believe that that was the beginning of the last days. Today we may well be living very near the end of the last days. And these things are manifesting themselves very, very much. We read here of children disobedient to parents, but parents, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives are disobedient one to another. And we are certainly backslidden in that. We have much more in the way of divorce today than we did in years past. So we can certainly acknowledge, and we should, returning to the Lord in part is submitting to what he tells us. Not just returning our way and what we think and what we might say and what we might believe, but learning from the Lord. Yes, he describes here to Israel, if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Sometimes we are prone to say that God is the God of the Israelites. He is the God of the Jews, and he is in a very particular way, very special way. But that does not lessen the fact that he is the God of all nations. He is the God of the whole world. And we read of that throughout Jeremiah, Isaiah, and we read it here. And the nations, plural, shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. You might say and ask, well, which is true? Is God angry? Are we guilty in all these sins in these last days, the perilous times? Or will the nations bless themselves in him? It could be either way. It could also be true in part, that a part of the nations will turn to the Lord and not the rest. There seems to be more of a turning back to God in other parts of the world than our nation, the United States of America. There seems to be more blessing in some of these other countries that were formerly called heathen. But it can come at any time, at any place. But the command is to all of us here, particularly to Judah and Jerusalem. He says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. When Jeremiah wrote this, many of the people were farmers. They knew exactly what fallow ground meant. Ground that was not plowed deeply, that had not overturned the thorns and the thistles, and that they were still there, growing. Jeremiah says, break that up. The Lord Jesus speaks about the word being sown among thorns. He calls it the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke out the word. Like thorns can choke out a crop, if seed is sown next to the thorns and it begins to grow, it sometimes withers or stays very much a small plant without fruit, and the thorn blossoms and grows. It chokes it out. And that's why God says, sow not among thorns. Get rid of them first. That's the part of repentance. Not to earn our way, not to say, well, am I good enough? Or am I better now than I was? In some ways, that might be true, but that's not the way of righteousness. The way is to learn how sinful we are and how much we need a Savior, how much we need Christ to forgive us, and how much we need Christ to change us, and that change can come not in what we do, even though we break up the fallow ground. We're told to do it. But actually, if it's ever done, we'll look back and say, God did it. That's the great grace. That's the power. The Holy Spirit working with the Word. And the Word doesn't come in Word alone, and that's our only hope for today. That's my only hope as I bring this message, that the Holy Spirit will give it, number one, and He'll apply it, number two, that He'll open hearts, that hearts will be pricked. Only then will the fallow ground be broken up. Only then will the thorns be turned, as it were, upside down, and buried, plowed under. Yes, that's what needs to be done. That's returning to the Lord. And we need to return to the Lord. We have backslidden, slid so far from God in so many ways. It's fearful, terrible. God's judgment could come. At any time, He could leave us to ourselves. Oh, do return to the Lord, the Creator, the Lawgiver, the Sustainer, and above all, the one that gave His only begotten Son. Believe on Him today.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.